All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league. All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league.
The following is a HoopBall presentation.
Welcome to the Box Score Breakdown Show, a HoopBall presentation. This episode is brought to you by Hawaiian Isles Kona Coffee Company. Taste the Kona difference. Get some delicious coffee. Head over to HawaiianIsles.com or Amazon. My name is Adrian Benjamins, and thank you for joining me on this Monday evening. We had a pretty good slate of games and some pretty nice fantasy lines. So let's just jump right into this. Let's get started. Let's go over to the Miami Heat at the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavs getting a surprising victory here, 125-119. I'm going to take a look at the Miami side of this game first. No Jimmy Butler for the Heat. So let's see who played well for Miami. Bam Adebayo really filled it up in this one. 22 points, 4 blocks, 3 steals, 9 assists with 13 rebounds. He shot 9 of 15 from the field, was 4 of 5 from the line. So love that he's kind of turning around that free throw shooting, or at least he did in this one. If you gotta complain about something, I guess you could gripe about those 6 turnovers that he had, but man, a pretty monster line. The 7 defensive stats, and Bam Adebayo is just cruising right now. He has just been a pretty nice surprise for fantasy. Likely wherever you drafted him, he's crushing value for you, so... let's see, who else played well? Robinson had 15 points and assists, a rebound, so not too much, but filled it up in threes, 5 threes. He shot 5 of 14. Nunn had a good game, 21 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, 1 steal. He shot 9 of 18. And he also added 2 threes. Kelly Olynyk only played 15 minutes, even though he got the start, had 6 points. Crowder has been a real pleasant surprise for the Miami Heat since joining the Miami Heat. I just did not think he would be an option in Miami with how loaded they are out on the wing, but he has played really great for them, logging big minutes. The usage is there. Likely he's already gone in all your leagues. He's been picked up even in all my standard leagues. He's been picked up. But anyways, Crowder had 16 points, 3 assists, 9 boards. He added 4 threes, shot 5 of 14 from the field. Just a really good fit. Just a really good fit on this Miami Heat team. So make sure that he is rostered in your league. Even though Goran Dragic is coming off the bench, he has been a pretty reliable fantasy guy. 22 points here tonight with 6 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 threes. He shot 7 of 16 from the field, 6 of 7 from the line. So not a bad game from Dragic. Again, no Jimmy Butler, no Myers Leonard, no Tyler Hero. So that's about it for the Heat. Let me double check here that I'm not missing. Jimmy Butler, we're hearing he's out for personal reason. I think that's a good thing that it's not injury related, although on some places like Basketball Monster, it says he's questionable due to an injury, but on other sites they're listing it as personal. So I'm hoping he's back soon. So don't worry if you have Jimmy Butler. I think it's just going to be this one game. I'm hoping he's back for the next one. Let's check over on the Cleveland side of this game. I guess I got to start with Kevin Porter, right? 30 points, 3 steals, 3 assists, 8 rebounds. He added 4 threes, shot 9 of 18 from the field, 8 of 10 from the line. You guys, make sure Kevin Porter is rostered in all your leagues. We've heard Coach Bickerstaff mention that Kevin Porter's going to get opportunity. I think they're going to really try to advance his development and give him the ball, and he saw 41 minutes here in this one. This game did go to overtime. I guess I should mention that. Likely why we saw some big minute totals. Bam playing 41, Garland and Kevin Porter saw 40 minutes in this one as well. So some really, the overtime likely inflating some of the stats here in this game. But I do think Porter is worth rostering if he's still available in your league. This is probably going to be one of his best games of the season. I'm definitely not expecting him to have a game like this on a nightly basis, but I think he's going to definitely be solid down the stretch. Another guy who played well, Kevin Love with a big double-double, 17 points, 14 boards, 4 assists, 2 blocks, 2 threes. He shot 4 of 13, which is not great, but 7 of 8 from the line. I think you'll still be happy with this line, with the big boards and the blocks. Darius Garland had a nice game, 14 points, 2 steals, a block, 7 assists, 5 boards, 2 threes. He hasn't been shooting great, was 5 of 12, but was a perfect 2 of 2 from the line, and that's a pretty good game from him. Sexton with 13 points, 3 assists, 2 boards, 2 threes on 4 of 10 shooting. He was a perfect 3 of 3 from the line. A real disappointing thing is Andre Drummond, in a overtime game, he only saw 24 minutes. I didn't get to watch this game, but I heard he didn't play most of the fourth quarter or at all in the fourth quarter, and that's pretty disappointing. That his minutes are dropping here. It just doesn't feel like there really should be a reason for that. He had 13 points, 6 rebounds, a steal, a block, 2 threes on 5 of 14 shooting from the field. So the shooting was really awful from Drummond. You know, if you have Drummond, of course you're sticking with him, and you just hope that this is a blip and that he can get things turned around. Seti Osman, I think we've all moved on from Osman. He only had 7 points in 24 minutes. Larry Nance is probably the next guy I should move to. 16 points, 2 steals, 2 assists, 8 boards. He shot 8 of 11. I love that he got 32 minutes in this one, even though he came off the bench. Got a lot of run, got a lot of usage, and I like that. I think make sure Larry Nance is not sitting on your waiver wire. Tristan Thompson also, you know, also another guy that you might be relying on in this front court. He had 15 points, 3 assists, 9 boards, 1 3. He shot 5 of 11 from the field, 4 of 7 from the line. Okay, not too much else to talk about. I will mention Dante Exum left this game with an ankle sprain, did not return, not really fantasy relevant, not a guy I hope you're counting on for fantasy, unless you're in like a mega deep league, but hopefully not. Okay, let's jump over to the next game. I got up the Milwaukee Bucks at the Washington Wizards. This one was a lot closer than I thought it would be. The Bucks getting the victory, 137-134. Let's take a look at the Milwaukee side, and I gotta start with Chris Middleton, who's been balling. 40 points, 3 steals, 5 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 threes. He shot 15 of 28 from the field. He took 28 shots. Guys, to put that in perspective, the next closest guy who had the second most shots was Giannis Antetokounmpo, who had 12 shots. So he was really the go-to guy here in this one. Middleton also added 3 steals, 5 assists, 5 boards. Did I already mention that? He also had 2 threes, shot a perfect 8 of 8 from the line. So a spectacular game from Chris Middleton. The next guy up has got to be Giannis Antetokounmpo. 22 points, 14 boards, 2 assists, 1 block. He shot 8 of 12 from the field, 6 of 8 from the line. He did have 8 turnovers in this game, did also foul out of this one in 25 minutes. Let's see, Eric Bledsoe had 23 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds. Pretty great game from him. He also added 4 threes, shot 7 of 11 from the field, 5 of 6 from the line. It's actually a really good game from Eric Bledsoe. Off the bench, man, a guy I think I may be looking to pick this guy up. He's available in some of my deeper leagues. Dante DiVincenzo, double-double tier, 12 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists. It gave you 2 threes, shot an efficient 4 of 5 from the field, 2 of 2 from the line. Now, the one thing that does worry me, his usage is a little low. So, you know, he shot it well tonight, 4 of 5 from the field. But if he didn't, if that shot wasn't falling, let's say he's 1 for 5, this line's going to look a lot worse. But so, you know, you kind of got to take the good with the bad when it comes to DiVincenzo. But for the most part, you know, he's rolling at a decent value on the season. So I think you just kind of got to plug him into your lineup and just roll with him and just take the average. So anyways, I may look to pick up DiVincenzo in a few leagues. I should mention George Hill. He had 14 points, 2 rebounds, and assists. Don't really trust George Hill, though, in fantasy leagues, or at least standard. Even in my deeper leagues, I wouldn't be trusting George Hill. And really not too much anyone else here off this Bucks bench. It's really the starters and DiVincenzo that do all the heavy lifting. Let me make sure I'm not missing anything. Oh, Brook Lopez was questionable. Actually, Lopez did not even play in this game. I was looking at Robin Lopez. I thought he did, but that was Robin Lopez who got the start. So Brook Lopez is out with a back injury right now. That's a little tricky. I'm curious if he's going to miss any extended time. They're probably going to play it safe with him, especially, you know, they're way out in front in the Eastern Conference. So really, they got to be focused on the playoffs, the postseason. So I would probably look for Brook Lopez to miss a few more games at least. Okay, you guys, let's jump over to the Washington side of this game. And you know I got to start with Bradley Beal, who put up back-to-back 50-plus point games. That is unbelievable. Last player to do that was the late, great Kobe Bryant. So Bradley Beal must feel great about that. Putting up back-to-back 50-point games on 2/24. Anyways, Beal, 55 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds. Didn't do too much else, although he did give you 8 threes, which is outstanding. Shot 19 of 33 and shot 9 of 10 from the field. That 19 of 33 obviously was from the field, 9 of 10 from the line. So pretty good game from him. Ish Smith, you know, this is a real interesting game for the Wizards, as in they got a good game from their backcourt, Ish Smith. And Shabazz Napier, but Ish with 13 points, 2 steals, 7 assists, 2 rebounds. He shot 5 of 11 from the field. He also added 2 threes, and that's a pretty good game from Ish. I just mentioned Napier. He had 27 points, 2 steals, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, 3 threes on 10 of 17 shooting from the field. He was 4 of 5 from the line. Definitely his best game as a Wizard. I don't think he could keep this up or do this on a consistent basis. Obviously, those are some pretty nice numbers right there. So just keep an eye on him, or keep an eye on that backcourt situation. But it's very volatile, very inconsistent, one that I'm not not really counting on anyone to be reliable from that point guard spot for the Wizards. Okay, no, this is pretty interesting as well. No Davis Bertans, no Thomas Bryant. So it was Mo Wagner getting some extended run. He saw 28 minutes off the bench. Now, he only had 8 points, but did have 10 rebounds, 5 assists, and I think it is encouraging. You know, he was right around that 15-minute mark before this game. So hopefully this means that they're kind of lifting that minute limit that they had on him. And hopefully this means that Mo Wagner could get some extra run or get some more run. I think I mentioned this on the show yesterday. I have Thomas Bryant in a bunch of leagues, and it sucks because, I don't know, man. I just, it just feels like a lost season for Thomas Bryant. I'm not saying to drop him. I'm actually hanging on to him. Actually, I did drop him in the HoopBall Staff League. I picked up Paul Millsap, so I made that switch. I am fighting for the last playoff spot in the HoopBall Staff League, so I don't have time to wait for Thomas Bryant to come around. Also in that league, I got JJJ, Jaren Jackson Jr., who's going to miss a few weeks, and I probably should drop JJJ, but I just don't have the heart to do it. So I'm going to stubbornly hang on to JJJ and probably miss the playoffs. Sorry for that tangent. Roy Hachimura played 46 minutes in this one, had 12 points, a steal, 2 assists, 4 boards, 1 3. He shot 4 of 12 from the field, 3 of 4 from the line. Not much else to speak of on this Washington Wizards team. I think that's about it. Let me just double check that I haven't missed any injuries. I mentioned Bertans is out. Thomas Bryant was out. Thomas Bryant, it looks like rest, back-to-back. Bertans, it looks like a knee injury, so maybe he misses a little bit of time. Although he could be back soon, so hang on to Bertans. Okay, guys, let's keep it rolling here. Let's jump over to the next game. I got the Atlanta Hawks at the Philadelphia 76ers. Not too much of a surprise here. The Sixers getting the victory 129-112. Let's check out what went down on the Atlanta side. I'm going to start with my boy, Trae Young. Ice Trae, 28 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds, 2 threes. He shot 10 of 22 from the field, 6 of 6 from the line. He has just been spectacular on the season. I got him in a few spots and definitely am happy about it. John Collins, after going off for a big game in the last one, backing it up here with another one. 21 points, 9 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 assist, 2 threes on 9 of 16 shooting from the field. You know, I am really curious to see what Clint Capella does to John Collins. I think they're both going to coexist in that backcourt, but does John Collins take a knock? Does he take a lid? Does his numbers see a little dip with a guy like Capella who loves to crash the boards? He could take up some space down low for sure. So how will that affect John Collins, who at the moment just really has free reign in that front court? So it's an interesting thing to watch. I think Collins is going to be fine. I think Clint Capella is going to be good. I think there's enough usage there for them to coexist together, and I think they will. Okay, it feels like Kevin Huerter has been slumping. You know, not a bad line. Did have a steal, a block, 4 assists, 5 boards, 1 3. He shot 3 of 10 for the field. It's just 9 points. I just always expect him to score in the teen range and, you know, in the 15 or higher range. So I always get disappointed when he's in single digits for scoring. But actually, it's an okay line here with the 2 defensive stats and, you know, 4 assists, 5 boards, 1 3. Shooting wasn't great, only 3 of 10, but it just feels like Kevin Huerter, it feels like he's been trending down, but the minutes are there, you guys. So, of course, you're hanging on to Kevin Huerter. Let's just hope he shoots out of this funk or he snaps out of whatever is going on. The other guy I should mention is Hunter. He had a nice game, 22 points, 2 assists, 7 boards, 1-3. He shot 6 of 15 from the field, 9 of 10 from the line. Dwayne Dedmon, I picked Dedmon up when, like right after the All-Star break or during the All-Star break, I think I picked Dedmon up because we kind of heard rumblings that Capella was going to miss some time. And Dedmon's been really disappointing. In fact, I might end up dropping him in a few spots. It's just, you know, foul trouble here tonight. 5 fouls in just 14 minutes. So the low minute total definitely due to foul trouble. But I can't count on him. It's very, when I play him, I have him in my lineup, I don't feel great about it. I feel like I'm gambling and that it's like a coin flip whether he has a good game or not. And I don't know, maybe I'll hang on to him for one or two more to see how he does, but I'm on the ledge, man. I'm on the ledge on Dedmon. Cam Reddish, who's been a popular pickup, he only had 10 points and only played 22 minutes. He likely had some foul trouble as well, as he had 4 fouls in just 22 minutes. So, but he's kind of been trending upwards, the opposite of Kevin Huerter. So, I don't know if he's still available in your league, keep him on your watch list or make the move if he fits your team needs. Okay, I'm trying to think if there's anyone else here that's really worth talking about. I don't think so. I think we pretty much covered it. Let's Cam Reddish actually left this game as well with a hamstring injury. He did return, so it doesn't sound like anything serious or doesn't sound like he's going to miss any time. But it's definitely important to note that this low minute total really kind of a really disappointing line could also be due to him leaving due to injury. Okay, let's jump over on the Philly side of this game. Let's start with Joel Embiid, who had 49 points, 3 steals, a block, 3 assists, 14 rebounds. Monster game from Embiid. He was 14 of 15 from the line, 17 of 24 from the field. He even gave you a 3 tonight. What an outstanding game. With no Ben Simmons, speaking of Ben Simmons, we hear that he could miss some extended time with his back, with whatever's going on with his back. It sounds like the Sixers want to be really safe with Ben Simmons. So with him being out, Shake Milton got the start. He played 26 minutes, didn't have most impressive line, 7 points, but he did kind of just sprinkle in some stats across the board. 1 steal, 1 block, 6 assists, 5 boards, 1 3 on 3 of 7 shooting from the field. Another guy that played well was Tobias Harris, 25 points, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 6 rebounds. He hit 4 threes, shot 9 of 12 from the field, 3 of 4 from the line. Josh Richardson, who's just been really having a disappointing season, he had 13 points, a block, 3 assists, 6 rebounds. Just the shooting's just not great. 4 of 12 from the field. He did add a 3 and went 4 of 4 from the line, so hopefully he can start turning things around. Al Horford moved into the starting lineup, but he was still a little disappointing with 7 points, a block, 5 assists, 8 boards. Did have a 3 and went 3 of 8 from the field, but I was definitely expecting a lot more from Al Horford this year. A guy probably worth rostering off their bench is Korkmaz, who had 15 points, a steal, 2 assists, 6 boards, 3 threes. Definitely can score and contribute in threes if you need that. Shot 3 of 8 from the field and went 6 of 7 from the line. So Korkmaz getting some good run, had 31 minutes in this one. I think he's could be worth rostering in anything like 12 team or deeper, probably not like shallow 10 team leagues. You're probably not picking up Korkmaz, but in deeper leagues, I think he could be worth an add. Not too much else to talk about here, you guys. Not much else. Let me just double check that I didn't miss any injuries. No, not much there. Okay. Okay, guys, let's keep it going. Let's jump to the next game, the Orlando Magic at the Brooklyn Nets. Another close game here. The Magic getting the victory 115 to 113. Let's take a look at the Magic side of this game first. Let's start with Aaron Gordon, who I know a lot of people are disappointed in Aaron Gordon, but he really played well in this one. I wish he could do this more often. 27 points, 2 blocks, a steal, 4 assists, 10 rebounds, shot a very efficient 11 of 16 from the field, 3 of 4 from downtown, and 2 of 2 from the line. Is it just an outstanding, efficient game from Aaron Gordon? I hope he can keep this up and keep doing this. Nikola Vucevic had 16 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 block, 1 3 on 7 of 15 shooting from the field. Markel Fultz was a bit disappointing with only 5 points, 1 steal, 7 assists, 3 rebounds. He shot 2 of 9 from the field. Evan Fournier had a nice scoring game. He had 21 points, 4 assists, a rebound, 3 threes on 8 of 16 shooting from the field. Ennis got the start and had 13 points, a block, an assist, 4 boards, 1 3. He shot 3 of 6 from the field, a perfect 6 of 6 from the line. Not a bad game from Ennis. Off the bench, Terrence Ross had 21 points, a steal, an assist, 8 boards, 4 threes on 8 of 15 shooting from the field. So if you play Terrence Ross, that's why you got him. He did what he does. Okay, not much else to talk about here on Orlando side. No injuries. Let's jump over to the Brooklyn Nets, who, man, if you guys have Kyrie Irving, if you haven't dropped him already, I know a lot of people making the decision to move on from Kyrie Irving. It looks like he's done for the season. What a disappointment. I'll be honest with you guys, Kyrie Irving is a do not draft guy for me probably forever. Probably, I mean, he would have to play one or two seasons without getting hurt or without missing extended time, and I just don't trust that to happen. But you know, with I'm gonna try to be positive and look at the good, and the good for me is I have Caris LeVert in quite a few leagues, so he is seeing a bump with Kyrie Irving out. And when I mean bump, I mean he took 21 shots in this game, had 19 points, 8 assists, 1 steal, 5 boards. Is prone to hurt you from the field goal percentage category. He shot 8 of 21 tonight, so that's not great, but did give you 3 threes, and I had him in my lineup in a few leagues, and I'm pretty happy with this line, even though the field goal percentage wasn't great. Speaking of Kyrie Irving, speaking of someone who's taking advantage or who is gaining from Kyrie Irving missing time is Spencer Dinwiddie. He had 24 points, 8 assists, a rebound, 4 threes, shot 9 of 20 from the field, 2-2 from the line. Joe Harris with 12 points, 2 assists, 6 rebounds, 2 threes on 5 of 10 shooting from the field. He's on the wire in a couple of my leagues, and I'm actually thinking of picking him up. Let's see. Turian Prince had 10 points, a steal, 6 rebounds, 1 3 on 3 of 10 shooting from the field. He was 3 of 4 from the line. Jared Allen, who was starting to trend down, DeAndre Jordan kind of cutting into his playing time, but Jared Allen really turned it around in this one. 16 points, 11 boards, 2 blocks, a steal, 3 assists, shot 8 of 8 from the field. So an outstanding game from Jared Allen. Off the bench, Garrett Temple is viable with 18 points, 1 steal, 5 assists, 2 rebounds, 4 threes on 7 of 12 shooting from the field. I think he could be worth a look in deeper leagues. He is getting some, or at least in the last few, he's been serviceable, and so in deep leagues could be worth a look if you need some help. I think he could be worth a look. Okay, DeAndre Jordan, only 22 minutes, 6 points, 8 boards, 2 steals. Really glad I stayed away from DeAndre. I really didn't want to have anything to do with this Brooklyn Nets front court on draft day. I was really scared that DeAndre Jordan and Jared Allen were going to like cancel each other out. That's a little extreme. They have not canceled each other out. I think Jared Allen is definitely worth rostering, but I really don't have any shares of either of these guys because I was just scared of the whole situation there. Okay, not too much else to talk about off the bench. No one else, I think, that's really fantasy relevant for the Brooklyn Nets. Okay, let's keep going here. Let me just double check, yep, that I didn't miss any injuries. Whew, it's... okay, next game up, the New York Knicks. versus the Houston Rockets, or the Knicks at the Rockets. Not a surprise here. The Rockets getting the victory, 123-112. Let's check out the Knicks side of this game first. I'm going to start with RJ Barrett, who had 21 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, 2 threes on 8 of 17 shooting. He was 3 of 7 from the line. So kind of hurt you from the line. He had 5 turnovers as well, so that's not great. But all in all, I think you'll take the 21 points and the 6 rebounds and the 2 threes. Not too bad of a line. This one kind of surprised me here. Dennis Smith getting the start, you know, with Elfrid Payton and Neal Akina out of this one. Dennis Smith got the start and played 29 minutes, had 15 points, 7 steals tonight for Dennis Smith. That's outstanding. To go along with 5 assists, 7 boards, 1 3. He shot 5 of 12 from the field. A guy that I'm curious about, who's piqued my interest a little bit, is Mo Harkless. You know, didn't have a stellar line tonight, was only had 7 points, but did have 2 blocks, a steal, 1 assist, 1 board, 1 3. But I'm just like that he's starting and saw 28 minutes, so I'm gonna keep an eye on him. He's on my watch list now. Lately, he's just been a real low usage guy, especially on offense, so my expectations are low on Mo Harkless, but he's got my attention and he's moved on to my watch list. Julius Randle, 17 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal. Taj Gibson starts, but just plays 12, like, low minutes. I hope you don't trust him. Now, here we go. Mitchell Robinson, 10 points, 8 rebounds, not so great. But how about these defensive stats? 2 steals and 5 blocks. That's why you have Mitchell Robinson on your team, if you do have him on your team, for those 7 defensive stats, blocks in particular. That's outstanding. Did also have 2 assists and shot 4 of 5 from the field. So I hope Mitchell Robinson can start rolling to the end of the season. That would be pretty good. Oh, man, I don't really want to talk about anyone else off this roster. I don't trust Portis, Bullock, Knox, nobody else here. So let's jump over on the Houston side. I'll start with James Harden, who had 37 points, 2 steals, 9 assists, 6 rebounds, 4 threes. He shot 14 of 25 from the field, 5 of 9 from the line. I should mention no Russell Westbrook in this one. So Harden probably getting a nice little usage boost here with Westbrook out of the lineup. Eric Gordon got the start, had 16 points, 2 steals, 2 assists. He shot 4 of 13 from the field, added a 3, perfect 7 of 7 from the line. Now, I don't trust, I do think we see Westbrook back. I think it was just out due to rest. So I'm not expecting, actually, Basketball Monster has Westbrook out for her thumb soreness, so maybe there is somewhat of an injury factor here, but I do also think it could just be some rest here as well. So I'm not expecting Westbrook to miss too much time, especially with the Rockets in the thick of things as far as the Western Conference playoff battle. I don't think they could afford to miss a lot of games from Russell Westbrook. Okay, Robert Covington with 11 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 4 blocks for Lord Covington. That's what I'm talking about. 3 threes on 4 of 10 shooting from the field. Let's see here. Daniel House, 10 points, 4 assists, 5 rebounds. Macklemore had 17 points. Austin Rivers had 14 points. Tough to trust those guys, though, when this team's fully healthy, when they get Westbrook back in the lineup. Okay, that's about it for the Rockets. You know what? Eric Gordon left this game in the fourth with a knee injury. He did not return. So, you guys, if I don't know. I mean, I think we're going to see Westbrook back soon. So I wouldn't do anything hasty, but probably just more if Westbrook and Gordon miss. It's just James Harden's going to go supernova. Covington's going to get more a bump in his stats. House maybe is a little bit better, Tucker as well, so it just would move, it would just trickle across the starting lineup if Eric Gordon and Russell Westbrook are out. Okay, here we go. Let's jump over to the next one. The Minnesota Timberwolves at the Dallas Mavericks. The Mavs getting the victory 139-123. I'm gonna take a look at the Minnesota side of this game first. I'm gonna start with Beasley, who's just feels like he's just locked and loaded and it was just gonna be rock solid for the rest of the season. The minutes 35 tonight, the usage took 20 shots, the same amount as D'Angelo Russell. He's put him in your lineup and forget about it, because he, as I said, he's locked and loaded, ready to just put up numbers for your fantasy team till the end of the season. Man, he looks great. 21 points and assists, 4 boards, 5 threes on 8 of 20 shooting. What a great deal that was from Minnesota. That was awesome. I mentioned D'Angelo Russell. He had 29 points, a steal, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, 3 threes on 10 of 20 shooting from the field. He was a perfect 6 of 6 from the line. Naz Reid, I picked him up in a few spots and I was excited about it. And, you know, even though the shooting wasn't there, was only 2 of 10 from the field for 6 points, gave you 3 blocks, which I love and I need, had two assists, 5 rebounds. So, you know, I think you're definitely sticking with Naz Reid. I think he'll be better in the next one. Josh Okogie, 6 points, 2 steals, 5 rebounds. He's not really a standard league guy. Hernan Gomez had 8 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist. I don't really think he's a standard league guy, and tonight's exactly why. James Johnson looked good in this one. He had 19 points, 2 blocks, 1 assist, 5 boards, 1 3 on 6 of 9 shooting from the field, 6 of 7 from the line. But I don't think I trust James Johnson, because he could give you a real low-end line in the next one. I am just keeping an eye on him, but, you know, I don't know. Coming off the bench, I just think if the shooting's not there, if he doesn't have his shot going, he could really put up a low-end line. So I don't know, I'm not making a move on James Johnson. Culver, 13 points, 6 rebounds. He's been disappointing, and I'm leaving him on the wire in most of my leagues where he's there. Not much else to talk about here. We're missing Karl Anthony Towns, and we probably won't see him back for a bit. To be exact, his estimated return is 3:10. So what's that, like a few more weeks? We'll see Karl Anthony Towns. Let's check out the Dallas side of this game. And I'll start with Hardaway, who had a decent scoring game, 23 points, a steal and assist, 4 rebounds, 3 threes. He shot 8 of 14 from the field. Porzingis with 15 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, no defensive stats, which is disappointing. Did have 1 3, shot 5 of 14. Not a great game from Porzingis. Luka Doncic had 20 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 1 3, just filling it up. Shot 7 of 16 from the field, 5 of 8 from the line. Off the bench, Barea had 12 points, 8 assists, 3 rebounds, but don't really trust him in a low... I really don't trust Barea or DeLon Wright, although he had a decent game, 16 points, 2 assists, 4 rebounds, 1 steal. But I just don't trust these guys coming off the bench in a low 20-minute role or high teen role. It's just tough to trust them. It's really just Luka, Porzingis, Hardaway doing all the heavy lifting here. And so there's not much left. There's not much meat left on the bone after those guys eat. Okay, let's go to the next one. Two more games left, man. It was a pretty big night here of action. The Phoenix Suns at the Utah Jazz. Man, can I tell you guys, I'm glad I did not bet any money on these games tonight, because I would have lost my pants. I would have bet for sure that the Jazz would spank the Suns in Utah, but it was the other way around. The Suns getting the victory, 131-111. Wow. Some big lines here on the Suns side. I'm going to start with Devin Booker, who had 24 points, 10 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 threes on 8 of 18 shooting from the field. He was 6 of 7 from the line. Ricky Rubio getting some revenge on his former team. He had 22 points, 11 assists, 6 rebounds. How's this? 7 steals for Rubio. He was a thief tonight. 2 threes, 6 of 13 from the field, 8 of 9 from the line. Kelly Oubre had 18 points, 1 steal, 1 block, 2 assists, 3 boards, 1 3 on 7 of 13 shooting from the field. Ayton had 16 points, 2 assists, 5 boards on 8 of 9 shooting. Bridges. Okay, I gotta talk about Bridges for a sec. I don't know, guys. I'm tempted. I'm on the ledge on Mikal Bridges. You guys need to talk me off of it, because, you know, the minutes are there. He played 30 minutes, but he took 3 shots in 30 minutes for 8 points. Did not have any defensive stats. Did not have an assist. He only had 3 boards. I don't know, guys. I'm on the fence on Mikal Bridges. I want to drop him. My heart is saying drop him, but my head is saying hang on to him, and I'm having this internal struggle. I don't know what to do, you guys. So I'm going to wait for the next one, probably. If he bombs in the next one, I'm cutting him. I'm moving on. If he plays well, I'll keep him on my team. I don't want to talk about the bench. Saric had 14 points, but please do not trust Dario Saric in 16 minutes, and it looks like Mikal Bridges officially stole the starting job from Saric. I expect Saric to stay in this reserve role off the bench, and I just don't think he's going to be worth rostering, or he's going to be relevant for fantasy, although he did shoot it well tonight. He actually was perfect from the field, 5 of 5, perfect from downtown, 2 of 2, and perfect from the line, 2 of 2. So even though he shot the lights out, I just don't trust him in a low minute role. Anyways, okay, that's about it for Phoenix. Let me double check that I didn't miss any injuries. I did not miss any injuries on the Phoenix side. Let's take a look at the Utah Jazz. Let's start with Donovan Mitchell, who has been on a tear lately. 38 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, 1 steal, 6 threes. He shot 11 of 19 from the field, 10 of 12 from the line. It's a good game from him. Rudy Gobert, 13 points, 8 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block. He was 3 of 5 from the field, 7 of 8 from the line. Joe Ingles has just been seeing a real dip with Mike Conley back in the lineup. Ingles had 9 points. Conley had 8 points. Both of them were disappointing in this one. Bogdanovich had a nice game. He had 16 points, 2 steals, 2 assists, 3 boards. He shot 4 of 10 from the field. Perfect 8 of 8 from the line. Off the bench, Joe Clarkson is definitely viable. He had 14 points, 2 steals, 2 rebounds, 1 3 on 5 of 11 shooting from the field. He was 3 of 3 from the line. So not a bad game from him. That's about it for the Utah Jazz. Not much really, you know. Jazz, I don't know. They're like, the Jazz kind of remind me of the Denver Nuggets, as in they've got a lot, like, they have a lot of different weapons, and from night to night, like, Mike Conley and Ingles were bad, but those guys could go off, or not go off, but those guys could have a solid game in the next one. And Bogdanovich could be the one who kind of has the low end disappointing line. So very similar to the Nuggets, where, you know, Millsap went off in the last one, but in the next one maybe Millsap plays bad. And so the Jazz kind of, for me, are very similar to the Denver Nuggets, as in other than Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, it's very tough to rely consistently on any other guy on this roster, and that's kind of a bummer. Okay, let's see. No injuries on the Utah side. Let's jump to the final game of the evening. If you guys are still listening to this, you guys are so hardcore. And thank you for putting up with me and my low energy. It's late. I got a little bummed out too from the Kobe Memorial. I probably should not have watched it right before starting to record this podcast. Also, interesting note, my 3-year-old daughter is sleeping 20 feet away from me right now, you guys. So I'm trying to record this podcast. I'm trying to like talk loud enough where you guys can hear me, but also quiet enough where I don't wake up my daughter. And I actually had to pause this podcast because she popped up and said something in her sleep, and then she put her head back down and went back to sleep. So anyways, okay, Memphis Grizzlies at the LA Clippers. Not a big surprise. This one was actually a little surprise that it, I mean, 124-97, right? Blowout. I'll be honest with you guys, I was watching this game early, I think in the second quarter, it was worse. I think the Clippers were up 30 something in the second quarter, so this game could have been a lot worse. I was pretty scared to play my Memphis Grizzlies against the defensive juggernaut, which is the LA Clippers, and it is looking really ugly here on the Grizzlies side. Can I tell you, no starter put up double digit scoring except Ja Morant, who had 16. But he did like nothing else, man. He had no defensive stats of 1 assist, no 3. I mean, dude, the Clippers just put the beat down on the Grizzlies. Jonas Valanciunas had 5 points. Dylan Brooks, who can score, only had 4 points. Kyle Anderson had 6 points. Brandon Clark, you know what? Brandon Clark had an injury for sure in this one. Let me check this out. Brandon Clark left this one with hip soreness. I don't know. I think maybe Clark misses some time, and not at least the next game, I'll say. Not a long time, but I would think Clark could possibly miss maybe 2 or 3 games here. That's just my assumption. There's no word on that. So keep an eye on that situation. Gorgie Dieng had a nice game off the bench, 14 points, 10 rebounds, 4 blocks. So he's an interesting guy with Jaren Jackson Jr. out and with Brandon Clark getting hurt. Man, I think it's probably time to pick up Gorgie Dieng or Josh Jackson, both guys having 14 points, and I would prioritize it with Dieng first and Jackson second, only because field goal percentage should be better with Dieng. The rebounds should be better with Dieng. The blocks, he had 4 of them tonight, so I will look to pick up Gorgie Dieng in a couple of my leagues, especially my deeper leagues, and then you guys, maybe Josh Jackson as well. Let's see. That's about it, you guys. I think that's all I got for Brooklyn. I mean, for Memphis. Horrible, horrible game for Memphis. They just got ran out of the building by the Clippers. So let's jump over to the Clippers side. Let's talk about Kawhi Leonard, who had 25 points, 2 steals, 3 assists, 8 boards on 10 of 17 shooting from the field. He was 5 of 5 from the line. Marcus Morris had 13 points, two assists, one steal, one block, two threes on 5 of 11 shooting from the field. Marcus Morris definitely seeing a dip, or definitely seeing his production get cut into since joining the Clippers. Went from a spot where he was the alpha number one option on the Knicks to a place where there's a lot of heavy hitters that he's got to contend with on the Clippers side. Speaking of, Paul George is back. Nice to see Paul George back, but did not have a great game. Only shot 3 of 11 for 7 points, 4 assists, 4 boards. But look for Paul George to bounce back in the next one. Zubac gets the start, but he only played 21 minutes, had 6 points, 10 boards, 2 assists. It's the guy is Montrezl Harrell. He had 22 points, 2 blocks, 3 rebounds off the bench on 9 of 11 shooting. But I do have to say, you know, this one was a blowout, so it's tough to really read too much into this. You know, a lot of guys getting low minutes, Harrell getting 20, Lou Williams only getting 22 minutes. So, you know, maybe these guys play more minutes if this is a much closer game. But the blowout factor likely contributing to some of these low minutes totals. And actually, you know, Lou Will only had 8 points, but Shamet had 13 points. But man, it's just really tough to rely on any bench guy other than Lou Williams. If Lou Williams coming off the bench, he's fine. And actually, Montrezl Harrell too. In most deeper leagues, Montrezl Harrell, I would play him. I would play him. All right, you guys, I think that is about it for the night. I don't even know. It's been a long, crazy day. I'm a little bit out of it. It is, it's almost 11 p.m., so I apologize again if I'm a little out of it. Want to thank you guys for listening to the show. I was on yesterday, on today, so back-to-back for me. And really hope you guys are having a good season. I know the playoffs are right around the corner for some people. I know in some of my dynasty leagues, playoffs are starting this week. So we're definitely getting down to the nitty gritty. In a lot of my roto leagues, I'm fighting like heck to move up the ladder. It's do or die time. It's time to get. So you guys, hope you guys are doing good. Thank you guys for everything. Thanks for listening and supporting the show. Hit me up on Twitter. I'm at Adrian Benjamins. I'll be back next weekend starting Sunday for some more box score breakdown. Thank you guys so much. I'll talk to you guys later.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.